Welcome to St. Louis on the Air. I'm Don Marsh. A little later in this program, we'll be talking about organized labor, where it is and where it's going. But first, years of work to eradicate lead paint from St. Louis buildings has been paying off. The rate of lead paint poisoning has dropped dramatically in recent years, but there is still plenty of the toxic substance out there, here, and throughout America. And thousands have been neurologically damaged by exposure to it, mostly children. In fact, one in three kids has elevated blood levels for lead.
Lead causes brain damage, like, for example, head going through the windshield of a car. It's totally preventable. When it happens, it's irreversible, it's untreatable.
That's a clip from a documentary on lead poisoning. It's titled Misled, America's Secret Epidemic. Its producer is Tamara Rubin. She's also the founder of the organization Lead Safe America, and she joins us by phone from Portland, Oregon. With me in studio is Janine Arrighi, Health Services Manager for Children's Environmental Health at the City Health Department. Also joining us is Lisa Karamanovich, the local parent of a lead poisoning victim. Ladies, thanks so much for being with us. Nice to have you here.
Thanks for having us.
Tamara, nice to talk to you long distance. Let me begin with you. If you can give me kind of a capsulized version, if you will, of the lead poisoning situation nationwide.
Well, our figures differ from what the CDC statistics quote, and that is specifically because we all know through the science and research that there's no safe level of lead in a child's blood. And so our 1 in 3 number is 1 in 3 children in America today under the age of 18 has had a blood level of 2.5 micrograms per deciliter or higher in their lifetime. And so that addresses both the fact that they may have had a level when they were younger or have an ongoing level but may no longer have lead circulating in their blood. But because the damage is permanent, they still should be counted as a lead poisoned child.
That 1 in 3 figure is really staggering, thinking of it in terms of nationally or locally. It's a very, very high figure.
It's a very high figure, and it's about the trace levels that we find from contamination of our soil and our playgrounds, our schools, and our homes. And the fact that even low-level exposure, as low as a blood level of 2, has been shown to have correlations to ADD, ADHD, and autism spectrum symptoms, among other neurological impairments, learning disabilities, and behavioral disorders for children.
One thing I think we have to make clear is I refer to it frequently as a lead paint issue, but the source of lead contamination goes beyond paint, doesn't it?
Yeah, it's twofold, or maybe threefold. Basically, we have lead paint contamination. That's the primary source of lead exposure, both from renovation and from existing lead paint hazards in deteriorating older buildings, but also soil contamination, which is existing contamination from decades of lead and gasoline use, and that soil lead does not go anywhere. It's still there. It's still sitting there, and so children can be exposed in playgrounds or even in their yards. And that soil contamination is compounded by the additional soil contamination from people sanding or pressure washing or dry scraping the paint off their homes as well.
I've only had the opportunity to see the trailer for your film, but what I did see was that just a few grains of this is enough to really cause the damage.
That's a big thing. Is people have there's a lot of myths, and the film talks about essentially dispelling the myths. And one of the primary myths is that it has to be a child eating paint chips in a deteriorating rental home that has not been maintained. And specifically, another myth is that it's only low-income families. In fact, any child can be poisoned. It just takes a microscopic amount of lead dust to poison a child. And it doesn't matter whether or not that child is low-income, high-income, you know, in terms of their family demographics, you know, any racial or ethnic background as well. So, you know, we really need to look at all children when we look at this issue.
I'm going to turn the focus locally here now and bring in Janine Arrighi. Janine, what's the situation like in St. Louis? I must say that the first story I ever covered in this city a long time ago was a lead paint poisoning issue, and it's still with us.
That's right. The City Health Department has had a lead program since the mid-1940s, so we've been on a long battle. In the last 10 years, of course, the city's administration, Mayor Slay, and all the agencies in the city have really focused their attention on reducing the amount of lead exposure that kids have in our city. And there's been more than an 80% reduction in lead poisoning in the last decade. When we look at the numbers, the numbers we're using are the CDC's level of 5 micrograms per deciliter or greater. We still have over 1,000 kids in the city each year that are showing those kinds of levels.
But I thought I'll point to paint now at this time, because that's what we're basically talking about in the city, older housing when lead paint, before it was banned. But it was banned.
Yes, in 1978.
1978, but it's still with us. And basically, the contamination comes when people renovate sand, and as you've indicated.
Yes, correct. Yeah. Well, or they avoid maintenance. If maintenance is deferred, then it can deteriorate as well.
Well, things are getting better, but there's still a problem, obviously. Lisa Karamanovich, let me turn to you and tell me your story, if you would.
My son, Luca, he's 3 years old now. When he was 15 months, we found out through his doctor by doing some blood tests that he was lead poisoned. Before we went in to actually get the exam, at 12 months, my child was saying all kinds of words and mimicking and babbling. But at about 15 months, he actually stopped talking, stopped mimicking. His eye contact was reduced, and I was concerned. I started researching into autism and other things. And then when I brought up the concern to my doctor, we ended up doing the lead test, and he ended up coming back at 20, as a 25, which is extremely high. So we were very concerned at that point of what the exposure was, because we had no idea how he was even exposed. It turned out that we had some flaking paint. Our house was made out of brick, but we had some flaking paint just around the windows and on the door frame. And he was playing underneath the windows in the contaminated lead chips. We also found out the lead dust was getting tracked into our house. So he was getting contaminated, not just playing in it, but then playing on the floor in the house. And we didn't know that we even had lead paint on our house.
My understanding is those lead chips, the paint chips, are very sweet, and kids are very much attracted to putting that in their mouth.
And what's interesting, my son was not really a mouth-to-hand child, but just I think being in the dust, playing in it, being on the floor, being around it, it doesn't take much, like Tamara said, to contaminate a child or poison a child.
So how do you deal with that, Lisa?
We were referred to the city nurses program in the city with Janine's health department, and they were wonderful. They gave us a lot of information. So you would tackle diet, and it's high vitamin C, high iron, high calcium diet, because lead is attracted into the bones if you don't have enough calcium. And it's a constant monitoring of their blood lead levels. So we were going every 3 months to check. You also have to make sure you clean your house and your floors regularly. We had to clean our dog's paws because our soil was also contaminated. So just going in and out of the house, the dog coming in and out of the house, us walking in and out of the house, would leave lead dust on the floor.
Has it helped your child?
It has. He's down to a 6 now. And the city did come in and helped remediate the house. We struggled because some of our neighbors also had the flaking lead in the alleyway. So it was a huge struggle, because we felt like once ours was kind of remediated, we were still getting the lead dust in the house. And then we were dealing with the other buildings around us that were dropping lead. So it was a little frustrating.
Oh, I just can imagine, although maybe I can't imagine.
Yeah.
But it's certainly a difficult situation to deal with. Tamara, and you have a story as well. I understand two of your children have been exposed.
Yeah, two of my children were exposed when we hired a contractor to repaint the exterior of our house. And we knew that there was lead paint in our case, but we hired a contractor who told us he was certified in lead-safe work practices. This is before the new law went into place, and we didn't really know what lead-safe work practices looked like. And he ended up actually not using lead-safe work practices on the home, and he used an open-flame torch to remove the old lead paint to prepare it for painting. And my son was just 7 months old and inhaled the lead fumes and was instantly acutely lead poisoned.
And the symptoms were what?
At that time, we didn't know it was lead poisoning, but the symptoms were like the flu without a fever. So he had vomiting, diarrhea, headaches. Both of my children, my other son was 3 at the time, they were holding their heads. They were, their behavior changed. They were grumpy and uncomfortable. And we called the doctor multiple times, and they said, oh, don't worry about it. You know, as long as they don't have a fever, just keep them hydrated and they're fine. And in fact, we didn't get a response from the hospital for nearly 2 months. They were sick for 2 months before the hospital agreed to test them for lead. And when they did, it turned out that they both tested positive for lead in their blood, and we had to move out of our house. And it cost us over $200,000 to remediate the hazards that were caused by that contractor.
And what about the prognosis for the children?
My son, Avi, is now 9. And he's the state keeps wanting to diagnose him as autistic, but if you come see the movie, you'll see that the experts say he's definitely not autistic. He has all the markers of autism without the main one. He does make eye contact with adults and people when he's speaking with them. He is in third grade, and even though he has essentially 130 IQ, which is Mensa level, he cannot read and write anywhere near grade level. He's writing at a kindergarten level at this point. And my other son has severe neurological issues. He's having significant gastrointestinal distress, and they both have immune system deficiencies and ongoing struggles every day.
So we're talking, I gather, about a lifetime problem here.
It changes your life. It really does. And I made the film because I wanted people to see that this is still happening, and it's happening all around us. But for some reason, it's a secret. That's why America's Secret epidemic. People really don't get that this is still happening. The paint that was applied on houses in the 1920s, 30s, and 40s was applied to last 100 years, and it has. And so in a lot of those homes, it's deteriorating now for the very first time. I'd like to encourage people out there to watch the trailer to the film. It's just 3 minutes, but it has a lot of information in it. And you can see it at misledmovie.com. That's M-I-S-L-E-A-D movie.com.
Well, we'll put a link to that trailer on our website at stlpublicradio.org. Janine, back to you with regard to the city and what the city is doing. It's been working on this, as you've indicated, for a very long time. Where are we now, do you think, in terms of getting to the point where maybe we're not going to have to deal with this issue?
Well, unfortunately, we do have so much beautiful old housing stock in the city that we probably will have some challenges for at least the coming decade, if not more. The good news is city administrators have made provision for this because federal dollars, which we've received millions of dollars in funding from HUD over the years, that funding is going away. The federal government isn't investing in this problem the way it had in the past. And so our city's building division has resources through some strategic funding streams to continue to provide lead inspections and lead hazard controls to families in the city for the coming future.
But there is a funding problem, obviously, making its presence felt.
Well, like Tamara just said, it costs $200,000 for her family to clean up that mess. If it's handled properly, it shouldn't cost nearly that amount of money. So
yeah, well, we'll get back to our conversation. We're talking about lead poisoning. It's a national problem, certainly a problem here in St. Louis. 1 in 3 children are exposed to it, and that's a number is way, way too high. I think everybody would agree with that. You just heard from Janine Aragi, Health Services Manager for Children's Environmental Health at the City Health Department here in St. Louis. Tamara Rubin is the founder of the organization Lead Safe America and producer of a documentary, Misled, America's Secret Epidemic. You can see that Friday the 21st at MX Movies on Washington in St. Louis, and on Saturday the 22nd at St. Louis University Law School Building at 100 North Tucker. She joins us by phone from Portland, Oregon. With me in studio also is Lisa Karamanovich, the parent of a lead poisoning victim. Welcome back to continue the conversation. If you have questions about lead poisoning, let us know. Give us a call at 382-8255. That's 382-TALK. You can send us an email at talk@stlpublicradio.org. If you'd prefer to send a tweet, we'll take one at STL on air. Back in just a moment. This is St. Louis on the Air on St. Louis Public Radio, 90.7 KWMU. Hello again and welcome back. We'll continue our conversation on lead poisoning in just a moment. But first, here are some of the stories our St. Louis Public Radio newsroom is following today. Republican candidates running for Illinois governor are spending the last day before the primary election traveling around the state. Businessman Bruce Rauner, State Senator Kirk Dillard, State Senator Bill Brady, and Illinois Treasurer Dan Rutherford are hoping to win their party's nomination tomorrow. Meantime, incumbent Governor Pat Quinn faces a challenge from Democrat Teo Hardeman. U.S. Senator Claire McCaskill will be in St. Louis this afternoon to call for the renewal of the Workforce Investment Act. She says the legislation, which has expired, has a, quote, proven track record of boosting job opportunities for Missourians, unquote. McCaskill will be joined at the event by St. Louis Mayor Francis Slay. And the St. Louis County Library Board meets this afternoon. Board members are expected to hear a presentation by some who want to save the Lewis and Clark Branch Library, which is slated for demolition. You can hear more about these and other stories this afternoon on St. Louis Public Radio and throughout the day at stlpublicradio.org. Now back to our conversation with regard to lead poisoning. My guests in studio are Janine Arrighi, Health Services Manager for Children's Environmental Health at the City Health Department. Tamara Rubin is the founder of the organization Lead Safe America and producer of a documentary, Misled, America's Secret Epidemic, which will be shown here this weekend. Also with me in studio is Lisa Karamanovich, the parent of a lead poisoning victim. Back to the conversation with regard to what people can do, and I'll turn to you, Janine. What can people do? I mean, just to get some sense of whether or not they're living in an environment that could be dangerous for them.
Well, one of the programs that we emphasize is one that's of extreme primary prevention. That means taking care of the situation before any child is exposed. We have a project that's called the Heavy Metal Project, where we reach out to pregnant women in the community and ask them to have their home inspected for lead and lead hazard controls to be conducted before their baby is born. And that's an important
thing.
That's
all pregnant women in the city of St. Louis?
Any pregnant woman in the city of St. Louis, if they want to call our office and be a part of that program. We also reach out through several OBGYN clinics, several health centers that refer clients to us.
And Tamara, let me turn back to you with regard to what you want the takeaway or need the takeaway to be from your film and the work you're doing with your organization.
Well, we have a few main points, and that is that people need to get their child tested for lead, and they need to ask for their blood lead level number, and they need to understand what that number means. They need to get their home tested for lead, do a hazard assessment either prior to move-in, ideally, or now if they're already living in the home. And they need to find out if their child's school has been tested. Additionally, if they're doing any renovation work, they should hire only EPA RRP certified contractors if they live in homes built before 1978. And they should always, keep an eye out for other potential sources of contamination in their environment. But if their child is tested, and again, if there's preconception or prenatal testing, as she was talking about just a moment ago, I think those are really good steps. The Lead Safe America Foundation also has a partnership with 3M Lead Check Swabs, and we're able to send out free lead test paint kits for families who request them. So they can go to our website, leadsafeamerica.org, and we'll send them a free kit to test the paint in their home if they'd like one.
And Lisa, there's a Lead Safe St. Louis as well, isn't
there? There is a Lead Safe St. Louis, and they've been, like I said, the nurses, at the Lead Safe have been a huge help to me. But I think just being a parent, if I had just known that any type of flaking paint in my house, since it was built in the 20s, was a possible contamination of lead to my child, I think that's what I would say to parents is look around your house. Look at the exterior of your house. Do you have any flaking paint? Even if it's just a little bit, get a test kit, swab it, see if it comes back positive. Because if you even have just a little bit, your child could be poisoned.
You know, that's relatively simple thing to do and sounds relatively inexpensive. But Tamara, some of the things that you're proposing, which obviously are things that people should be considering, sound quite expensive to me.
Well, the blood lead test, if they use the finger prick test methodology, that costs clinics about $7 per test. And again, the home test kits, they sell at like Home Depot or Lowe's for $14.95, but I give them away for free. Asking for your school's been tested, that's simply a question, and getting informed about whether or not those hazards need to be taken care of. Like was said earlier, we personally spent almost $200,000 with alternate housing and cleaning up the mess and additional testing. But if you approach this proactively, you can remediate a home for somewhere in the $8,000 to $10,000 range, especially, if you quantify the hazards prior to occupancy.
I want to take a phone. Did you want to say something, Janine? You looked like
sure.
You were poised
yep.
to do something.
I'd like to just say that we're going to be offering free lead testing at the event on Saturday SLU School of Law.
Law School. Mm-hmm.
And we also, Tamara has arranged to have toy testing there too, or any object if you want to bring it in to have it tested for lead content. You can do that as well on Saturday.
What time is that on Saturday at the law school?
We're actually going to be starting as early as 10:30 doing that testing. The beginning of the movie will start about 11:15 or 11:30.
Okay, that's at 100 North Tucker, I believe, is the address for St. Louis University Law School. Let's go to the phones. Jonathan wants to join us from St. Louis. Jonathan, go ahead.
Yes, I just have a couple questions. I was wondering, first of all, if your guests were aware that most of the lead mining in the U.S. has historically been in Missouri, just a few counties south of St. Louis, even though in the last several decades it's moved a few counties west of that. But I'm wondering if we have danger from lead being mined, being transported, and up until just recently being smelted in Herculaneum, which is only something like 40 miles south of St. Louis. Has there been testing done to see if there is lead in the air or in the soil in the general St. Louis area and not just in Herculaneum or the actual lead belt where it's mined?
Well, I think I can hardly contain Lisa here. She wants to answer your question. So go ahead, Lisa.
I have a friend who I met through Facebook, and she has several kids who were lead poisoned. She lives down in the Doe Run area where those lead mines are. And she has a really hard time actually finding the source of contamination in her house anywhere. And her idea is that it probably is in the air and floating around. I know they've done some testing down there, but I'm not quite sure what the results are. But I know that is a problem definitely down in that area. I'm not sure how far it's spread out from there, but it definitely is affecting people down there.
Right. Janine?
In the film,
Go ahead, Tamara.
In the film, we talk about how the lead contamination that spread airborne has gone all the way to the North Pole. So it's in the polar ice. And if it's in the polar ice, you betcha it's all around you as well, especially closer to the contamination sites. And my understanding is that there's some new progressive stuff happening in Missouri. Specifically, there's some medical monitoring cases where they're looking at tracking the health impacts on children in those towns, and they're trying to get compensation to help those children have resources for therapies and whatever else they need to live a full life as much as they can. And I think that it is a definite concern.
What are the penalties like for people who are somehow abusing this?
Well, the federal penalty is $37,500 per incident per day. I don't know about Missouri specifically.
Do you have any idea, Jenny?
It would be the EPA penalty that Tamara is speaking about. But also in the city of St. Louis, say if a landlord is negligent about maintenance of a property, they will be cited for violation, and they are required to correct it. And if they don't, then they can be fined as well.
Is there a shelf life to this contamination? I mean, it sounds to me like it's there forever. Tamara?
It is. Yes, it is there forever. And that's why it's important to test people's homes before. Well, you might not be able to have any control over the air in your town, and you might not be able to control the parks. I say start with your home. Start with the inside of your home. Make sure that's lead safe. Then look at the outside of your home, your soil. See what you can do. You can remediate the soil. I've been to homes in high lead areas in, for example, Los Angeles, where they had a lot of lead gasoline contamination. And I've seen a home where the mother did intensive soil remediation through augmentation and composting. And I tested her soil with my Niton Thermo Fisher Scientific XRF spectrometer, and it came back negative. It had no lead at all. So I know it's possible to remediate the soil in a contaminated area and to do it just as a homeowner, as an individual. It's about understanding that you need to do that and get your soil tested. And we also offer free soil testing. You can send a soil sample to Lead Safe America, and I will test it for free if you'd like. And there's information about that on our website. And so then once your home is safe, once your soil is safe, then you have to kind of become an advocate and look at your children's school, especially in-home daycares are a problem where they're in an older home and can poison a child, and then also playgrounds and other exterior environments.
Well, folks can learn a lot more if they attend either of the two showings that are being presented here this weekend. Friday the 21st at MX Movies on Washington. On Saturday the 22nd at St. Louis University Law School Building, 100 North Tucker. We'll have information about those showings on our website, too. Tamara Rubin, I want to thank you so much for being with us. Good luck with your organization. And I hope this movie is seen by a lot of people. There's a lot of information folks have to know. Thank you so much for being with us.
Thank you.
And Gene Arrighty, thank you for being with us as well. Lisa Karamanovich, thank you so much. Good luck to you and your family with what you're going through. I know it's difficult, but we appreciate your being here. Coming up, an expert on labor relations. This is St. Louis on the Air on St. Louis Public Radio, 90.7 KWMU.